magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Tuesday, May 21st, 2019. Not a repeat from last week. This is new. It's all.
Oh, my. How many phone calls did you get?
A number of phone calls, yeah. In fact, we'll turn it into a blessing. Yesterday, you may have tuned in waiting for your, like, 14th verse or 13th verse in our Memorization Monday series, and you heard Ken Cuffey again speaking on Deuteronomy 6:6.
Maybe somebody needed to hear it again.
Well, that's what Karen Ari says. When there's, like, a glitch or somehow the system re-aired the old program, Karen says, well, if it was good enough to hear the first time, it's good enough to hear again. Oh. Or she said maybe God needed somebody to hear it again.
I love her attitude.
Somebody who couldn't tune in got to hear it.
Yeah.
And I haven't decided if next Monday we'll have a special Memorial Day program or if we'll continue with our Memorization Monday series.
Yeah.
But I'll figure that out at some point here.
Okay. Well, this is not a repeat.
Yeah, this is not a repeat. Sorry about that.
You said Memorial Day. Memorial Day, we remember those who died in war. Is that right? And Veterans Day, we just remember all veterans.
Yeah, all veterans.
Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But many times veterans get acknowledged and honored
on
Memorial Day just for the fact that they served.
Okay.
But, we have great respect and
memorialize
those that gave their very lives.
Sure do.
And that includes men and women and even those that maybe didn't serve in the field, if you will, that had the behind-the-scenes role, still watching over the family and caretaking and supporting their loved ones that served us.
Well, somebody mentioned just a couple days ago how much they appreciated Kathleen's article, this last one, because it was about a priest that held mass during World War II.
Yeah.
And so he wasn't never on the front lines, but he was just such an important, integral part of everything.
So that's next Monday. It's interesting, though, many schools still have classes for a few weeks. I know we were up in Oak Brook. I'll talk about the Singing Men concert. But a friend of mine who taught, she says, we go to like the second week of June.
Oh, my.
And I'm like, what? And she goes, well, actually, we're out at the end of the first week. But the second week, the teachers still have to hang around and do whatever.
Oh, those
for
kids that go
week.
To school in June are just always miserable. I was anyway.
Well, Jason mentioned last week where they return the day after Memorial Day. So they have the Memorial Day weekend off.
Oh, yeah.
And because of a snow day or something, they have to go that Tuesday. And he's like, come on.
That's right.
You have Memorial, you have the Monday off. Anyway, that's the case. But
at least it's not June, right?
Yeah, that's right. So
tell us all about it.
Oh, the Singing Men of GNN did an outstanding job. It was like a two-day event because we went up on Saturday. A few stayed over Friday night so they'd be ready to go come Saturday.
Okay.
But many of us, because we didn't have to actually begin our rehearsal time till 10:30, actually it was technically 11 o'clock, but they wanted us all checked in at 10:30.
So the pictures on Facebook at the Cheesecake Factory, was that the Friday night group or the Saturday group?
That was the Saturday night group.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Because it looked like Lou Welch got a double birthday. I thought she already had her birthday.
Ken and Lou. Well, anyways, so those of you that were praying for the Singing Men of GNN and for the special concert on Sunday at Christ Church of Oak Brook, and that was the church I grew up in. I went to Crusaders, Conquerors, Koinonia College Group in Soaring 20s. So I was affiliated with that church for, 15 or 20 years from the time about 6 or 7 years old till the time I came down to the Champaign-Urbana area.
Your old stomping grounds.
Old stomping grounds. And while there's been huge expansion of the church, but the original sanctuary and the Garden Vesper and some of the other areas were just the same. I mean, this is 50 years removed.
You said you remembered even the wood on the banister and all kinds of stuff.
They built it with quality materials 50-plus years ago.
Yeah.
I remember before the church was built, we met at Butler School, which is just down off of York Road. So a half a mile away, we were meeting in the gymnasium. We had set up folding chairs like many churches when they start.
Yeah, but not so much back then. Did they meet in gyms and stuff back then? I guess so. Yeah.
I don't know.
Anyway,
that's where we met. And then they were raising funds to build Christ Church of Oak Brook, and that's what they built, that sanctuary and some of the other buildings. And they remain to this day along with all the expansion. But it was a glorious time. So the Singing Men, we arrived up on Saturday. We had training, and there were four other men's choirs. I think
you've been saying three.
Yeah, there was five of us.
Oh, wow.
And we were all about the same size. We all had about about 20 to 25 members that attended, other than the group from Michigan, and they had about 40. So that was the largest group. But the rest of us were, I think it was 19 to about 26.
Wow.
And so we went through the whole program together, the various songs we sang. I should have brought my little program, but it was very well done. They had the Chicago Brass. So a phenomenal brass group, the Chicago Brass Group or the Chicago. Anyways, there was about 25 members with all their instruments. And what's those big drums? What are those things called? The tam?
Well, I don't know, but you're playing them right now.
Two big drums. Yeah, my arms
Your arms are waving.
It was those two big
Tams?
Ones.
Tams? I don't know.
So it was very professional, well done. They had the pipe organ playing like the Battle Hymn of the Republic.
Ooh.
Phenomenal.
No, that sounded powerful.
100-plus men's voices.
Oh, my.
Then they had Miss Illinois was there, who's one of those opera singers, and so she sang a couple selections.
Miss Illinois is an opera singer?
Yeah, yeah.
I feel behind. I didn't know that.
Yeah, see? And I think she can sing in 10 languages.
So she
was introduced, and she wasn't there at the rehearsal. This is part of the, I'm blurring the rehearsal and the program together.
That's okay.
Together.
None of, I wasn't there.
Yes.
It all sounds wonderful.
Well, everyone did great. So we did the rehearsal. We all sang together, prayed up the whole program that it'd be God honoring. All these were Christian groups, these five choirs, men's choirs. And we had this practice. It basically went from about 11 till 2:30. So most of us, like, at that point, I was like, wow, we were worn out.
Yeah.
In fact, I left, and we checked into our hotel a few hours later.
Time to go for pizza.
Yeah, we ate, and then it was like, I had to take an afternoon nap. I was like, I was beat. Anyways, so...
Did most of the singing men make it?
Most all the
good.
Guys made it up. Yeah. It was kind of interesting. We were all in one hotel. I didn't get my reservation in at the time because I kept thinking I would use points, you know, to defer the cost. And so I kind of waited around. And then by the time...
And then you didn't have a room.
Yeah, then there was no... Oh. That was totally booked. And then hotels where I had points, they were booked.
Where did you stay, Mark?
I ended up staying... We stayed at a Hyatt, so we had some points for there.
All
but
right.
Anyway,
just wandered around town with all your point booklets.
Yeah, I had to look at, hey, do we have Hyatt points? Do we have Marriott points? We had Hilton points, but Hilton was filled. The Hyatt was filled, and then we finally found
Well, at least you do try to save money.
Yeah, So we woke up Sunday morning, and Christ Church of Oak Brook, the church I attended, so went to the 9 o'clock service. So I had time to attend the service and then go back to the hotel, get the tuxedo on, and then at 12:45 we all met there to get ready for our 3 p.m. performance. So from basically 12:45 to about 2:15, we went through some more of our rehearsals. All the guys did a sound check, so we had our group doing our three songs, Days of Elijah.
Oh, wow, good.
And so and Roger was the soloist on that. He did great.
Oh, really?
And so, in fact, I might be a little biased, but I asked a few people. I think our choir got the loudest and greatest applause. And I am a little biased, but that really was true. Partly because the Days of Elijah, it got everyone clapping. It was the only song where the audience kind of participated.
Yeah.
And the first choir before us, they were slower, very beautifully sung songs, but they didn't have as much life in it.
Yeah, yeah.
And so,
you guys get into that song. And Roger really puts his heart in whatever he sings.
So,
he had a picture on Facebook, too, or no. Audrey did at the Cheesecake Factory.
Of course,
that's what I was interested in.
Yeah, a number of guys ate at the Cheesecake. We ate at Buca's. There's a Buca's up there. They used to have it at Marketplace
Mall. Is that pizza, right? Pizza?
Italian.
Okay.
So we had the Zeta thing where it's like cheese in that like kind of macaroni noodle.
Let's not talk about it.
We get hungry.
I bet you guys, I'm surprised your voices weren't kind of tired by the actual performance.
Well, and we were supposed to sing, we had talked about singing at a retirement home that Saturday night, and that kind of got canceled for all the men, and I'm so glad it did, because to go through 2 or 3 hours of that rehearsal with everyone, and then to sing that night, and then to wake up, and then to rehearse a little again and sing, many of us would have struggled through that, because I felt, even going into this, that, wow, our voices are stretched a little. But the guys did great. All the choirs. It was a really well-done program, and with the Chicago Brass playing.
Oh, my goodness.
They
were
phenomenal.
Is there any kind of, like, recording?
Yeah, supposedly we're all going to get a recording of this that we can copy and share with all the guys. So I don't know if
can we be all
some...
the guys, too, the rest
yeah.
of us?
I don't know if we can share that.
What do you mean you can't share it with all of us?
Well, no. What I mean is, I don't know how the audio will, we'll see. So maybe we'll share a portion of that over the air whenever we get it. I don't know. It might be a few weeks. But it was a glorious
occasion.
Well,
I'm proud of you guys. Wonderful.
And then afterwards, so we got done at like 5 o'clock on Sunday. And a couple of guys are like, we might go here, we might go here. And
some of you are like, let's head home.
And then Holly's like, let's go to Trader Joe's. She loves Trader Joe's when we're up in that area.
Good.
So we went to Trader Joe's. Actually, at that point, because wearing those black shoes, I'm like, Holly, I'm just going to stay in the van.
You were still in your
tuxedo. But
going into Trader Joe's. I want a picture.
No. No, at that point, but I still had the dress shoes on.
Oh, okay.
But I had changed the pants. I had my jeans and everything on. Anyways, while she's in there, I'm just tired. I'm just going to sit in here. And then I started thinking, well, some of the guys were going to go to a Texas Roadhouse.
Oh, don't tell me you went to a Texas.
So
oh, my
we left
goodness.
There. We went to the Texas Roadhouse, where I thought there was two in the area. And at least six of the guys, like Jim Gunther and Lonnie and Keith Kraft.
They went to Texas Roadhouse?
Yeah, they were all in,
really?
In one. So I went in there.
No, I went to Chicago. And I mean, I love Texas Roadhouse. But you got to really love it to go to Chicago and go to it when there's one right here where you live.
Yeah, well, that's the restaurant of choice for whatever reason.
Apparently.
So we
it
had
is
a,
good.
And we had a couple of those appetizer coupons. So I found their table and then gave them two of them. And so we swapped stories. So I probably stood there because there was like
about a Texas Roadhouse?
30-minute wait at the Texas Roadhouse. So we swapped stories about the event and the gathering, all that went on. And so the guys were very thoroughly blessed. And just a lot of good stories. Some stories I can't share. What happens in Vegas stays in Vegas.
Oh,
well,
come on.
We had one guy. I'll just say, I won't say names, but the suspenders he had weren't working.
Those kind,
so his pants weren't being held up properly. And so we were trying to figure out a bobby pin and how to get it to go. And
every choir I've been in has those stories. My shoe heel broke, my this, my that.
Yeah,
so
it was a class. That was one of many different kind of funny things. And we didn't have rehearsal last night. The singing men got to take a break.
Oh.
So,
I would think so.
But when we gather again, we are going to have a lot of fun stories to share. Yeah. So.
Now, will they be practicing over the summer or take
a
break?
No, we're going to take a break, but I think next week, with it being Memorial Day, we haven't decided. I think we're going to take it off, and then we'll rehearse, and then Ivan Parker's to town.
Oh, my.
So,
are we into that already?
Yeah,
I love when he comes.
So June is just around the corner.
Yeah, and then July and the 4th, and we're just rolling through summer.
In fact, at the end of this month, so we have two more Thursdays, this Thursday and then on the 30th, but the children's choir and the conversational English classes will both be taking a summer break. So that'll kind of be nice to free up some of that time and energy to
focus on
other things.
Well, all those volunteers are, come back fresh.
We all need that a little. Okay, so it's Tuesday, which means we read a chapter or so out of Memories of an African Son by Marianne Simpkins, and I think we're turning to Angels Unaware.
Yeah.
Chapter 57.
All right. Yes, chapter 57, Angels Unawares. When I was 14 years old, at the end of that summer in Zimbabwe, I was sent back to America alone. In those days, it was a very different trip than it is now. Even close to his dying day, my father remained unsure how he could have made the decision to send me back alone, without someone to accompany me, even though he had carefully tried to arrange the flight details for my safety. The person who had been scheduled to travel with me had plans altered at the last minute, and there was no transferable ticket. Flights in those days were extremely expensive, but I needed to go as my school in America was about to start, and there was no extra money now for another person to fly with me. Children, even teenagers, seldom made transatlantic flights alone in those days, but the life of missionaries seems fraught with adventure, if anything. Traveling long before the advent of cell phones, computers, and the like, I became adrift in the wide world.
Adrift in the wild world.
The wide world, I did. Out of communication with every person I knew. My plane landed in Angola in the middle of the night, and everyone but me disembarked, while men in white garments came in, each carrying one of the old pump spray canisters with the pump held out to the side. The captain had warned the passengers that the plane was going to be completely fumigated before takeoff, and passengers who were concerned for health reasons should disembark.
Wow.
I looked out the plane window to the little airport in the distance, cupping my hands on the window to try to see it across the tarmac. It looked to be a long, dark walk across the tarmac to the small airport. I had not liked the look of two of the European men on the plane with me. They seemed unsavory characters, and they kept eyeing me strangely. I did not like the idea of walking alone across that dark area. I was the only passenger who stayed aboard. The mist from the fumigant was terrible. I've never heard what might have been going on in Angola at the time to engender this activity. Our plane flew on to Geneva, and then finally I was on a flight to Heathrow in London. Quote, "Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares." Hebrews 13:2. On that flight, I couldn't help but notice the incredible stewardess who made her way up and down the aisle with the others. Among the beautiful girls, she was astounding. And not just because of her natural good looks. She was literally covered in sharply defined makeup. I was mesmerized by the blue eyeshadow that ran from her eye clear up to her brow, bright and powerful. It was all I could see. I was coming from a place where no one, at least that I knew of, wore much in the way of makeup at all. And even the girls in boarding schools in the cities were mostly fresh-faced and scrubbed in their uniforms. I couldn't take my eyes off the stewardess. Each time that she walked by my seat with her poise and self-sufficiency, I was glued to the sight of the brilliant smudges of bright blue paint. That's all I could think of. Those painted eyes overshadowed the boldly drawn brows and the striking red-defined lips. I disembarked in London and found my way to the airline desk to be met with unanticipated and most disturbing news. The British government had just put a ban on all passengers disembarking any plane from Rhodesia. Why they couldn't get this figured out before our planes landed that day, I've never learned. The airlines had told my father there would be no layovers for me, only brief stops. But the businesslike man behind the desk told me in no uncertain terms that I would not be able to leave England for 3 days.
Wow.
We had to be cleared. Some years earlier, when I had still been living on the mission station, the white government of Rhodesia had declared independence from Britain's Commonwealth, and Britain had refused to recognize the new government because they would not allow African majority rule. But that had been some time back. And although tensions were high, this turn of events at the airport was unexpected. I stood there, on my side of his desk, a lone girl, holding the little blue satchel that I had carried with me around the world. Finally, I went and sat down on a bench with my satchel on my lap and stared at the wall. There was no hope of reaching my parents or anyone else, either on the mission station or in the town, wherever they might be. The first transatlantic phone cable had been laid under the ocean only a year after I was born, so long-distance calls were still not a particularly commonplace thing. The station, of course, didn't even have outside phones, and phone calls in general had involved us scheduling a time to make the journey to a city, scheduling the overseas call a month in advance, and maybe finally hearing the static intermingled with a voice on the other end. But even in the city, where my parents most likely were, there was simply no way to get through so quickly. I tried to place a complicated, long-distance call to one of my brothers in America from a large public payphone on the wall, but to no avail. I realized then that they wouldn't even know what had happened to me. At last, I went back to my bench and sat. I tried to formulate a plan to find some sort of hotel for my days alone in London. My father had made sure I had traveler's checks, as he knew I'd be entirely on my own and out of communication with everyone. Then I could set about trying to find a way to send someone a telegram from there. I sat on for quite some time, in the same spot, deeply not wanting to leave the supposed safety of the airport. Suddenly, I heard a voice behind me, clearly speaking to me, yet I knew absolutely no one. I was alone. "Why are you still here? Weren't you going on to America?" I turned to face the blue-shadowed wonder. Her hair was an amazing blonde concoction, such as I'd never seen in all my life. Her perfume was powerful and beautiful. I told her my story and pointed to the airline desk, explaining how none of the passengers from Rhodesia could leave. She stood staring at me, aghast, furious. Her eyes were flashing, causing me to stare even further, in silent shock and bewilderment at the blueness. She rose to her full stature, which was very tall, and marched off. I watched her go. A Valkyrie. A warrior princess. Oh, yeah. A being from another world. I watched in awe and almost fear as she strode over like a Germanic princess to the desk. I can only hear phrases floating back to me. A child. Whatever are you thinking? Alone in London? Get her on a plane now, I tell you now. Ridiculous. I'll see to it myself. I could only catch part of the words. The accent was so strong. The man behind the desk seemed nearly as cowed by her as I was. She took no back talk. She brooked no opposition. Within the hour, papers had been signed and stamped, waivers given, and I was on my way to the city of Chicago. I boarded the plane, satchel in hand, and sat down, staring ahead. My stewardess was not on this flight. I never saw her again. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him, and he delivers them. Psalm 34:7. To this day, whenever I see an overly made-up woman, no matter how garish, I smile. Sometimes I feel a small tear form in my eye. She makes me think of one of the most wonderful memories of my life, when a perfect stranger stood up for me in one of the most powerful ways I had ever seen. Angels unawares. You never do really know. I do know that I'm so grateful for the blue-shadowed, blue-eyed Wonder Woman. Father, let me be an instrument of your help. Don't allow me to overlook the need of the smallest and most insignificant of your creation. They may need my help the most, the ones who stand where no one else but me is looking. And also, Lord, always send your help to me too, whether an unrecognizable angel or a person, when no one else is noticing my dilemma. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen and amen. Angels Unaware, Memories of an African Son by Marianne Simpkins. I'm going to close out with a portion of Angels Watching Over Me. It's a favorite. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Marianne Simpkins with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you and have a great day and night.
It's all night, all day, angels watching over me, my Lord. Well, it's all night, all day, angels watching over me. Well, it's all night, all day, angels watching over me, my Lord. Well, it's all night, all day, angels watching over me. Well, I went down to the valley to pray. Angels watching over me, my Lord. My soul got happy. I stayed all day. Angels watching over me. It's all night, all day. Angels watching over me, my Lord. Well, it's all night, all day. Angels watching over me.
Now when my heart is sad and blue,
angels watching over me, my Lord.
Ooh, I call on him to see me through.
Angels watching over me.
Oh,
all night, all day. Angels watching over me, my Lord. All night.
if you get there before I do.
Angels watching over me, my love.
Tell all my friends I'm coming too.
Angels watching over me.